Teenager of the Absolute 13. 14 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Circle ruled over by Zeus was designated by the Greeks as the world, because it was wholly concerned with the establishment and generation of substances. The upper panel of the inferior world, partaking of the same analogy as the first world or upper circle, which it recapitulates in part, is termed the spirit of the world. The central panel, likewise recapitulating the central circle, becomes the mind or soul of the world, and the lower panel, recapitulating the lower circle, the body or form of the world. Thus spirit consists of a trinity of spirit, mind, and body in a spiritual state, mind of a spirit, mind, and body in a mental state, and form or body of a spirit, mind, and body in a material state. While Zeus is the god of form, he manifests as a trinity, his spiritual nature bearing the name Zeus. The intellective nature, soul, or mediatory nature of Zeus is termed Poseidon, and his lowest or objective material manifestation, Hades. As each of the Hindu gods possessed a Shakti, or a feminine counterpart signifying their energies, so Zeus manifests his potentialities through certain attributes. To these attributes were assigned personalities, and they became companion gods with him over his world. The Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades triad of the Greeks is the Jupiter, Neptune, and Pluto triad of the Romans. Jupiter may be considered synonymous with the spiritual nature of the sun, which, according to the ancients, had a threefold nature symbolic of the threefold creator of the world. The vital energy pouring from the sun and one of its manifestations becomes Neptune, the lord of the hypothetical sea of subsolar space. In Neptune we have a parallel with the hypothetical ether of science, the superatmospheric air which is the vehicle of solar energy. Pluto becomes the actual gross chemical earth, and his abode is presumed to be in dark, subterranean caverns where he sat upon his ancient throne in impenetrable and interminable gloom. The analogy to the dot, the line, and the circle again appears. Jupiter is the dot, Neptune the line, and Pluto the circle. Thus the life body of the sun is Jupiter, the light body of the sun, Neptune, and the fire body of the sun, Pluto ruling his inferno. It should be continually borne in mind that we are not referring to great universal realities, but Teenager of the Absolute 15. Simply to those phases of cosmogony directly concerned with matter, which is the lowest and most impermanent part of creation. Over this inferior world with its form and its formative agents sits Jupiter, lord of death, generator of evil, the demi Ergus and world formatter, who with his 12 titanic monads, the Olympic pantheon, builds, preserves, and ultimately annihilates those things which he fashions in the outer sea of divine privation. It is noteworthy that the astronomical symbol of the sun should be the dot in a circle, for as can be deduced from the subject matter of this lecture, the dot, the circle, and the hypothetical connecting line give a complete key to the actual nature of the solar orb. When Jupiter, or Jehovah, is called the Lord of the Sun, it docs not necessarily mean the Sun which is the ruler of this solar system, it means any one of the millions of universal suns which are functioning upon the plane or level of a solar orb. Jupiter manifests himself as a mystical energy which gives crops, perpetuates life, and bestows all the blessings of physical existence, only to ultimately deprive mankind and his world of all these bounties. Jupiter is the sun of illusion, the light which lights the inferior creation but has nothing in common with that great spiritual light which is the life of man and the light of the world. According to the Gnostics, the Demiurgus, and his angels, represented die false light which lured souls to their destruction, by causing them to believe in the permanence of matter and that life within the veil of tears was the true existence. According to philosophy, only those who rise above the light of the inferior universe to that great and glorious spiritual lumen, essence belonging to the superphysical spheres, can hope to discover everlasting life. The physical universe is therefore the body of Jupiter, Jehovah, Osiris, or Shiva. The sun is the pulsating heart of each of these deities, and sunspots are caused, as H.P. Blavatsky notes, by the expansion and contraction of the solar heart at intervals of 11 years. In the Greek and Roman mythologies, Zeus, or Jupiter, is the chief of the 12 gods of Olympus. Olympus was a mythical mountain rising. 16 lectures on ancient philosophy. In the midst of the world, it is the dot or sun itself, for it is written that the tabernacle of the gods is in the skies. From the face of the sun shines a golden corona whose numberless fiery points are the countless gods who transmit the life of their sovereign lord and who are his ministers to the farthest corners of his empire. In the Hebrew philosophy, the rays of the sun are the hairs of the head and beard of the great face. Each hair is the radius of a mystical circle, with the sun as the center and outer darkness as the circumference. It is curious that in Egypt the name of the second person of the triad, the manifestor, should be Ra or Ra, and his title, the Lord of Light. Ra bears witness, however, to his invisible and eternal Father. For the light of the sun is not the true sun but bears witness to the invisible source of the effulgence. Thus, as the beams of the physical sun become the light of the physical body of existence, so the rays of the intellectual sun are the light of the mind, and all power, all vitality, and all increase come as the result of attunement to the fiery streamers of those divine beings, to whom has been given the appellation of the gods. A few words at this time concerning the symbolism of Neptune. While Neptune is popularly associated with the sea, OC, cultly he signifies the albuminous part of the great egg of Jupiter. In certain schools of Orphic mysticism, the inferior universe, like the supreme, all-enclosing sphere, is symbolized by an egg. This lesser egg has Jupiter for a yolk, Neptune for the albumen, and Pluto for the shell. It is therefore evident that Neptune is not associated with the physical element of water, but rather with the electrical fluids permeating the entire solar system. He is also associated with the astral world, a sphere of fluidic essences and part of the mirror of Maya, the illusion. As the connective between Jupiter and Pluto, Neptune represents a certain phase of material intellect which, like the element of water, is very changeable and inconstant. Like water, Neptune is recognized as a vitalizer and life-giver, and in the ancient mysteries was associated with the germinal agents, the fish, or spermatozoon, previous to its period of germination, was under his dominion. The nature of the Absolute 17, descending from the sphere of cosmology to the life of the individual, it is important that certain analogies be made between Jupiter as the lord of the world and the microcosmic Jupiter, who is the lord of each individual life. That which in our own nature we call I is, according to mysticism, not the real I or self but the Jupiterian or inferior I, the demiurgic self. It may even be said to be the false self which, by accepting as real, we elevate to a position greater than it is capable of occupying. A very good name for Jupiter is the human spirit, as differentiated from the divine spirit which belongs to the supermaterial spheres. In man, Jupiter has his abiding place in the human heart, while Neptune dwells in the brain, and Pluto in the generative system. Thus is established the formative triad in the physical nature of man. As the physical universe is the lowest and least permanent part of existence, so the physical ichal body is the lowest and least permanent part of man. Above, the lord of the body with his aeons or angels is the divine mind and all-pervading consciousness. The body of man is mortal, though his divine parts partake, to a certain degree, of immortality. Over the mortal nature of man rules an incarnating ego which organizes matter into bodies, and by this organization foredooms them to be redistributed to the primordial elements. As Jupiter had his palace on the summit of Mount Olympus, so from his glorious cardiac throne on the top of the diaphragm muscle he rules the body as lord of the human world. Jupiter in us is the thing we have accepted as our true self, but meditation upon the subject matter of this lecture will disclose the true relationship between the human self and the universal all of which it is a fragmentary yet all potential part. Recognizing Jupiter to be the lord of the world, or the incarnating ego which invests itself in universal matter, it then becomes evident that the two higher spheres of trinities of divine powers constitute the hermetic anthropo, or non-incarnating overman. This majestic and superior part, consisting of the threefold darkness of absolute cause and the threefold light or celestial splendor, hovers above the third triad consisting of the threefold world form, or triune cosmic activity. The highest expression of matter is mind, which occupies the middle distance between activity on the one hand and inertia on the other. The mind of man is hypothetically considered to consist of two parts, the lower mind, which is linked to the demiurgic sphere of Jupiter, and the higher mind, which ascends toward and is akin to the substance of the divine power of Cronus. These two phases of mind are the mortal and immortal minds of Eastern philosophy. Mortal mind is hopelessly involved in the illusions of sense and substance, but immortal or divine mind transcending these unrealities is one with truth and light. Here we have a definite key to several misunderstood concepts as now promulgated through the doctrines of Christian science.